Kim, can you hear me okay?
Yep, I can hear you just fine. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my headphones to work here.
Oh, okay.
Kim, can I do another sound check there?
Yep, I can hear you perfect.
Perfect, great, thank you. Okay, now I'm working.
Okay, great.
Good evening, Ann.
Good evening.
Evening, Bob.
Hey, Steve.
I am. Hi, Bob. I drove down to Ketchikan yesterday and got Sam and his girlfriend Emily off of the ferry. They were stuck in Ketchikan. I drove them home. They were pretty much done with the ferry.
Is the ferry broke down?
Yeah, so they pulled in Ketchikan and they announced that three staff with COVID. Not the first thing.
I heard that, yeah.
And then they went to pull out and their engine stopped. So, evening, Patty. COVID.
Good evening.
They were ready to get home.
Yeah. That's frustrating. But it looks like there's some good news on the ferry system with what they got through. Hopefully, through the legislature.
Yeah, I hope so. That was a fair chunk of money.
Yeah, and the governor seems to be amenable. So let's hope that stabilizes it a bit.
We really need to come up with a long-term plan for recapitalization of that whole thing. Good evening, Terry. Oh.
Well, at least it sounds like they're starting to listen to this last subcommittee that you know, studied and came up with some ideas, so.
You know, I floated the idea a while ago of these being our emergency response platforms for disasters in the state. They built the Kennecott under that premise with Exxon Valdez money. That's why it has a helicopter pad and an emergency operations center.
Right.
And, you know, there is every reason for us to improve this system, not tear it down.
Mr. Mayor, can I go ahead and get the Facebook Live ready for this?
Yeah, please go ahead, Kim. Thank you. And Kim, do we have confirmation that David Powell, Assemblymember Powell, is not calling in tonight?
I know he's in Hawaii and he said he wouldn't be back until the beginning of May. So I haven't received confirmation either way.
I know he's in Hawaii. I see the posts every night.
Yes, thank you very much.
He is not letting any of us forget where he is. Good evening, Chief. How are you doing?
I'm ready for all this pollen to go away.
Oh, Terry and I are the asthmatics on the team.
Oh, not an asthmatic.
Got it right here.
Allergic.
Mr. Mayor, we lost you. There you go.
It's not fun having a persistent cough in the middle of a pandemic. But
no, I was going to say no. Everybody looks at you like.
Yeah. Not the vid.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, I see that Allison from Alaska Permanent Capital Management is on. Allison, are we waiting for Blake as well?
I'm on.
Oh, you are. Oh, hi, Blake. I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
No worries. I'm sorry. Am I? Is everybody waiting for me to get going?
No, you're fine, Blake. I'll get things rolling, and then okay. I'll get Lisa to introduce you. But welcome, and Allison, welcome. Thanks for coming out tonight.
Absolutely.
Okay, and with that, we will get started. Good evening, everyone. It is Tuesday, April 27th, 2021 at 6 p.m. And this is a work session for the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska. And tonight's work session is our annual investment report from the Alaska Permanent Capital Management Firm. And Kim, could you please start off by calling the roll?
Yes, I will. Assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe? He messaged and said he was going to be late. Dalrymple?
Here.
David Powell? Corson?
Here.
Gilbert?
Here.
And Mayor Prasanka?
And I'm here as well. excuse me. Kim, could you just, if Assembly Member Howe joins us later on, would you please make sure to just make a note that he is in attendance? And with that, I'm going to turn it over to City Manager Vaughn Bargan to set us up for our work session, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The other thing I'd like to do with your permission is just introduce our investment committee. And admittedly, we have not been meeting anywhere near as much as we need to, but that's made up of Assembly Member Ann Morrison, community member and former Assembly Member Jim DeBord, myself as the city manager, and then the normally the finance director, who is absent at this time. And but I wanted to say that Jim is here in attendance in addition with Assembly Member Morrison. And so what I'd like to do next is introduce Blake Phillips and Allison Capps, who are our representatives from Alaska Permanent Capital Management. And they manage two different funding sources or two different funds for us. The first is our permanent fund, part of which includes our pool fund. And the second is they manage a portion of our working capital money as well. And so information on both of those different investment portfolios is in the packet tonight. And with that, I'm actually going to let Blake and Allison take it away.
Great. Thank you very much. Would you like us to share the presentation? Is that best way to go?
Yeah, if you can. Kim, they can share, correct?
Yes.
Great.
I'm not seeing the share. Oh, there we go. Hold on just a second. I'll have that pulled up.
In the meantime, just for those of you who are not I have not met before. My name is Blake Phillips. I'm the Director of Institutional Solutions, Alaska Permanent Capital, and Allison Capps is works closely with me, and she's our Client Relationship Manager. Great. So can everybody see presentation? Perfect. Okay. Allison, if we can move to the first slide. So this is the account summary. As Lisa had mentioned, we started managing your permanent fund and as of January 31st, 2020. The initial amount was $8.7 million, and there have been withdrawals of $294,000. And the current market value as of the end of March was $10.2 million. And that's, we've continued to experience strong markets, and that's up closer to $10.4 million at this point, for an annualized account return since inception of 12%. The account's current allocation is 55% stocks and 45% fixed income. On the right there, as you, Lisa also mentioned, the operating fund, which is more of working capital, things that it's basically, you know, things that we want to keep very safe, liquid, principal preservation being the top priorities of that money. Was started with $5 million. The current market value is still just over 5 million with a 0.53% annualized return. And that's really just a function of risk-free assets right now are just yielding extremely low amounts. If we could move forward. So I'm gonna do, for the market review, I'm gonna go over what happened last year and then kind of give also our outlook for what we're looking for going forwards. This chart looks very positive based on the last four quarters. If we added in the Q1 of 2020, I think everybody would see just how violent of a move we experienced last year. We were down, I think the US large cap indices were down 33% at the trough, which is March 23rd. And then coming out as, you know, COVID really just kind of hit and everybody was seeking a lot of clarity. And now what you're seeing here is the amount of recovery we have had in a very rapid fashion. And that was really due to two factors is really gonna define it. There's a lot of items you'll see in, under each of the quarters, but really the focus should be, we had a massive amount of stimulus put into the market, not just in the US, but globally. And I think an interesting kind of point to make is coming out of the financial crisis, there was $800 billion of stimulus put into the market. And at this point, we're at $5 trillion just for the US to give an idea of how much money has been pumped into the market via basically both keeping the interest rates at zero and then other different fiscal stimulus packages, which us here in Alaska have been able to benefit from and help us through these times. And so those are, I think, would be the two main takeaways for kind of how this happened last year. Does anybody have any questions before I move on to kind of the more of the market outlook about anything from last year? Okay. So going forward, it's going to be a lot of the two main factors going forward are really going to be, or three rather, are going to be, you know, the economic reopening. I think everybody's probably experienced a lot of the supply chain disruptions that we've had, and you know how much we see it, like automakers have not been able to get chips, lumber prices have been soaring, etc. But if you look at the left there, what you'll see is projected GDP growth for the US, China, and developing markets is what DM is. And other than China, you can see all of them are expected to be above average. So as we come out of this and we kind of get that reopening growth, so that's gonna be a really positive tailwind coming out of this. Additionally, while stock valuations are not cheap relative to historical averages, when you're looking at a 10-year treasury yield that's getting you about 1.5%, the alternative for where you want to allocate assets really kind of puts you in a position of wanting to be more exposed to the equity markets, and that should continue to provide kind of a positive backdrop. And then you have the longer term implications of low interest rates. We don't really expect interest rates to be moving up anytime soon. There's been very clear messaging from the central banks about how they plan to raise those rates. And basically for the next 18 months or so, we're not really expecting any kind of rate increases. So you have very easy access to capital, which will provide, a lot of support to the market, even with additional potential hiccups from kind of any arena. Move to the next slide. So the long-term rate rise is what I was just kind of speaking to there, you can see that it just really, there's not much to be gained, even if you're going out to 30 years, you know, 2.5% to lock in your money for 30 years. But the other, obviously, big elephant in the room is the how we come out of this pandemic worldwide. We've had a lot of success so far with the rollout of the vaccinations. We're starting to kind of hit a, you know, high quality problem of everybody who gets, who's wanted to get vaccinated early has kind of is getting to the point where they can get their shots. And now, you know, we're in a position of kind of where there was previously a big deficit as far as the amount of vaccinations that are available. We're starting to get over that hump, and that's helping to provide some real positive things for as far as economic reopening. That being said, we still, there's been, you know, recent news out of India where they're just having a very horrific second wave of cases. And so those are the kinds of things that gonna be really, we're gonna be focused on as far as looking at the outlook going forward. Earnings growth is starting to pick back up. We had, in I think the second quarter of last year, the biggest GDP drop ever that we've had, and followed by the biggest GDP growth we've ever had. So it's, that is what's going to drive earnings going forward. We've seen some very positive things coming out from a variety of sectors across the board. The stimulus packages that have been provided for across many different sectors have been successful. And, you know, I think we've seen the airlines and the cruise industry and other hospitality focused sectors, restaurants, have been supported hopefully enough to kind of catch this tailwind, because that those stock returns that you saw last year were hugely driven by the tech sector, which was kind of in place, you know, as we all started working from home and, you know, on our computers every day, all day in our house. That was really the driver of earnings. And so now you have the sectors that were hurt during that period starting to play catch up as we start to reopen. And so again, that will provide a good tailwind, kind of a rotation, so to speak. So we have some, you know, pretty positive outlook going forward, and you'll see that in the asset allocation where we're overweight equities now, which has been a real positive contributor to the Wrangell funds. So this is the year-to-date asset class returns. You can see that small and mid-cap have really, which are in the middle there, and which we view as risk assets. You know, those are the area that we look for to get our return, where the left is fixed income, which is kind of the ballast to the portfolio, or kind of when we do hit that turbulence, that's why we want that. Even though fixed income assets are yielding so low right now, it's still an important part of diversifying the portfolio for risk control perspectives. And coming into last year, I would have told you probably the same thing, that we're not expecting strong fixed income returns. But when COVID hit, US fixed income there, which is the largest allocation for the risk control piece, was up 6.5% on the year. So it's very important to have that in the portfolio to diversify the risk. And then on the right, you'll see the real assets, which is real estate, commodities, and infrastructure. And those performed very poorly last year, but those are, you probably have seen a lot of commentary about potential inflation coming. And that area of the portfolio is a very important part of hedging against inflation. And so that you've seen them start to come back. That being said, just to touch on the inflation piece, we do expect to see a pop in inflation I think everybody probably is, you know, spent a lot less money on travel and restaurants, et cetera. And so there is going to be kind of a big unleashing of that kind of disposable income that will help kind of drive those industries out of it. But we'll, so we'll probably see an inflation pop from 2 to up to 3%. And, but we do not expect that to be runaway inflation by any means. That is a concern being thrown out there. But at this point, we don't see that being a major concern where we're going to have some kind of runaway kind of tulip mania. Can I, before we get into the portfolio review, can I answer any questions about any market questions?
Anybody have any questions for Blake? Blake, I'm not seeing any. I think you're good to go on. Thank you.
Okay, sounds good. So what you'll see here is, this is what we call the kind of the mountain chart. Given that the inception was in January 31st, 2020, it's not as long, but so this will be comprised of distributions, contributions, and also the market return. And once we get full annual years, you'll see some green bars to kind of give you some color on how much the market returns were contributors to it versus the distribution and contribution activity. So this is the asset allocation of the portfolio. As I mentioned, the target strategic benchmark is 55% stocks and 45% bonds. As you can see on the left column there, which says percent of assets, you'll see that we're at 40.6% fixed income versus this strategic benchmark, and that is due to our positive outlook for the intermediate term. And we're at 59.4% versus 55% in the equity market. And so that has been a very positive contributor kind of coming out of the COVID crisis to returns, and we're mainly expressing that through mid-cap, small-cap, and infrastructure. And so those are the kind of the areas that we think are going to be the most positive contributors right now. And we're funding that through those fixed income assets, which I mentioned, you know, are very low yielding. So we're being able to kind of push that over. And we're doing that within the ranges that you see in the third column, or fourth column, rather. And that's the area of discretion that we have to move around the strategic benchmark without having to either recommend an allocation change. Well, pretty much that's the only way that we could get outside of those ranges would be to recommend an allocation change.
Steve? Oh, I'm sorry.
No problem.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Ann.
I'm assuming that $500,000 that's sitting there in cash in that fund is used for purchasing, or is that a safety net? Why that cash at 5%?
No, it's a very good question. So, as I mentioned, the fixed income, that entire grouping of the U.S. fixed income TIPS, which are Treasury inflation protected mm-hmm. systems, international bond and cash are all looked at risk control. But cash is also utilized to give flexibility when we do want to have those active tilts or for potential distributions. It provides some stability. It's low, has very low correlation to the market. So even bonds, you know, can sometimes travel correlated with the stock market in times of turbulence. So that's just even a more of a kind of a ballast within the portfolio.
Okay, it's just a steadying spot. Okay,
correct. And also provides liquidity and flexibility.
Okay, thank you.
So this is the account performance. The blue bar is the actual Wrangle portfolio, and then the orange bar is the strategic benchmark. And so the strategic benchmark is made up of the specific target allocation in a vacuum that was designated on the prior page, and then the differential between the blue bar and the orange bar is going to be the different tactical tilts that we've taken within those ranges that I was mentioning before. So you can see since inception, the fund is up 12% versus the benchmark of 11.85%. The 1 year number is kind of a little ridiculous looking, and I would really dissuade anybody from planning based on that one, because that was coming out of the trough at the end of March, even though it's very nice to look at. And then you can see year to date, 3.37% versus 2.92%. And as I mentioned kind of earlier, at 3.412, we're up over 5%. And so I'm not going to spend too much time here. So the operating account, really, as opposed to the permanent fund, where we are trying to really gain some strong kind of intergenerational growth that'll support distributions to Wrangell for a long time going forward, hopefully. The operating account is much more designed to kind of enhance the yield that you might just, instead of having these funds in your checking account, which I think everybody's probably looked at their checking account lately, not getting too much in an interest rate. And so what we do is we try to work with Wrangell to enhance the yield on those funds as much as we can, while also ensuring that we match up any liquidity needs that might come about. And so what you'll see is that on the lower left corner there, you'll see that we're 88% treasuries. And so those are extremely safe, and we can make trades in that same day sometimes if there, for some reason, was any kind of need. And so principal preservation is really the name of the game for the operating account. And so that's why it's kind of so safely managed. And you'll see that the portfolio liquidity is almost entirely less than 3 years as far as maturity dates, and that being said, so which also brings down the interest rate risk or duration. So if we do have an interest rate increase, there also will not be too much of a hit from a perspective of just the market risk. You can move to the next page. And then finally, just to, there's a lot going on here. My fixed income team likes to get wordy sometimes. But I think the main takeaway is that you'll see that on that upper right chart there, that the Fed funds rate, where we're coming out of the financial crisis and starting to be able to get some interest, some yield on more risk-free assets, just completely went away post-COVID, and we're not expecting that to change until at least next year. And so that should be the expectation as far as a yield outlook on the operating funds. They still remain extremely safe, but they're not going to probably do a whole lot as far as return in the near to intermediate term. With that, I'm happy to answer questions about anything.
Thank you. Could I ask that the screen share get taken down so I can see multiple folks here, please? Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Blake or Allison? I have a question. Can you explain fee structure to me, please?
The fee structure for the account?
Sure.
So it's 0.5% on, sorry, I'm good right here. So 1/2% on the first 5 million and 0.3% thereafter. And that encompasses everything that we do. So there's no additional cost for transactions, for trading, anything that we do. And we also try to minimize costs for Wrangle as much as we can from any kind of external fees. So the vehicles that we utilize to invest in the various asset classes, we're always trying to minimize those expenses because, you know, one thing that you can control when you're investing money is the expenses. And so that we're always seeking to lower that as much as we can for you. And we do act as a fiduciary for you to try to align our incentives with you as much as possible and create no conflicts of interest. Your account is managed separately from all of our accounts. Institutional accounts are separate accounts. So it's designed specifically for Wrangle. That way that, you know, we're not trying to balance anything where, Wrangle and Juno or something, like we're not trying to match you up with someone else and do the best we can. We're doing it specifically for you.
That's 0.5% by the quarter. So 5% on the first 5 mil, 2.25 on everything thereafter, correct?
0.5% on the first
0.5, sorry.
And then 0.3% thereafter.
2.3. And is that on by the quarter? Do you accept collect fees, or is that how does that work?
By the month, Mr. Mayor, our monthly fees were just over $3,000 this month.
So we collect that each month. We're collecting that fee, correct? Okay. So Lisa, in a typical year, excuse me. So we've been with these folks now for a year and a half, correct?
2 years? Just over a year.
Just over a year.
Like a year and a quarter, given that it's okay. April.
I mean, this is the time you want to be in your business. Let's face it, guys, because we've sat, I know some of the members, Gilbert, sat through a few of these, and it's not this happy usually. I'm not going to lie. We've had some pretty bleak reports over the years. So, yeah, great job. But...
trust me, this time last year was pretty much polar opposite.
So. Yeah, no, I know my own portfolio has been. We've had some grim months, there's no doubt about it.
Mr. Mayor, I can get you a spreadsheet at the next meeting of all of the fees for the last year. That's right. Something I have the ability to do.
That's always my concern is what is our fee structure looking like? I mean, we've been... it's been a bit murky in the past, so I appreciate the transparency. that'd be great, Lisa, if you do that.
Mr. Mayor, I'm sort of learning a little bit here, just with Joyce's departure on everything. We actually get every month, we get a statement. We are able to log on online and look at the statement and the performance. And so that's the information that'll come to you guys in the packet. From now on, what I can do is include the monthly invoice so you guys can see the fees as well. I'll start doing that in the monthly report to the assembly.
Lisa, fantastic. If there's ever any assistance that you need with providing those, just let me know. I'm happy to help.
I appreciate that. I might have you help me with like the last year's transactions, if you don't mind fees.
Absolutely.
Thanks. No problem at all.
That's great. I think that the assembly really needs to understand our fee structure because it can be significant. And right now things are up, so you're like, oh yeah, whatever. But when things are down and you go further down because you have fees, it stings more. Does anybody else have a question for Allison or Blake?
Mr. Mayor, I have a question actually, if you don't mind.
Please.
And this is something you asked. I had reported to the assembly and to the staff that, you know, over the last year, we've seen roughly $1 million worth of gains in the fund. And the idea that's come up is, should we take some of those realized earnings out of the fund and use them for something else, or put them aside and sort of keep them safe, you know, in a bank, I'm joking, but sort of in a bank account.
Lock them in.
Put them into a different management structure in terms of the way our asset structure to preserve them. To make sure that they're safe. And so Blake or Allison, I don't know if you can speak to that perhaps.
Yeah, so it's depending on what your needs or potential capital, if you might be using it for a capital project or something like that. So just as we have, you know, the operating fund, which is managed extremely differently from the permanent fund, there is also sometimes where what we call it is bucketing. And so right now you have an extremely safe bucket, and then you have the permanent fund bucket, which is, you know, geared more for higher returns. And so there is the ability to kind of do something in between, which might have a lower equity gearing. With at 55% equity, you are versus other permanent funds in the state. And, you know, we have managed almost $4 billion around the state, and we manage only Alaska money. It's kind of on the more conservative end, and that's not a bad thing at all. It's, you know, completely fine. The most important thing is to have your risk tolerance at the right level, because, you know, the last thing you want to do is change your mind about how much risk you want to take when the market goes down. And that's usually when you see those kind of bad decisions happen. But that being said, you know, there is the ability to create another bucket. There's no additional costs to separating money off to that. It would be under the same, basically considered the same account. So we could do something like 25 or 40%. But the thing that I would consider when you're looking at doing that is whether you're actually intending on utilizing those funds. Because I think the most important thing, you know, just as we act as a fiduciary for you, you're fiduciaries for Wrangell. And so you want to be growing those funds to the best of your ability for the benefit of Wrangell.
Mr. Mayor, follow up.
Please.
So, Blake, we could bucket a portion. Obviously, we'd have to change what's in the code related to asset allocations.
Yeah. So, it would not be as tricky as the, or not tricky is the wrong word. I should not be using that as an investment manager.
That or squishy, please stay
squishy. Go stay away from squishy for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, when we set this up, we updated code to ensure that we had all of the asset classes that were allowable. So now that we have those, we wouldn't have to change that. But yeah, there would be a code update just far as kind of basically saying what the new fund would be.
So we could bucket something that we wanted to be a little bit more conservative, and we could bucket something that we wanted to be more aggressive, since what I'm hearing from you is that we may be on the more conservative side than some of the other funds. Okay.
Thank you. Assembly Member Howe.
So is this a good time to put more in equities right now, Blake?
So we are, so as you'll see from that, you know, so we're sitting at almost 60% equities versus the target benchmark of 55%. And so right now we are kind of positive on the kind of near to medium term outlook for stock market returns based on kind of low interest rates, economic reopening, positive vaccination developments. So we are positive on it right now.
Awesome. Thank you.
Lisa, this is not going to allow you to get the crazy money bucket, throw it all in on the penny stock stuff. I know.
I want to be a day trader with just a little bit of
the just even 100,000. What's that?
Just give me 50K to run with.
$10 million.
Put it all in
scratch offs.
Two words, cryptocurrency. That's where we got to be. Cryptocurrencies, folks. What's that one? Dog? Or I say that wrong, aren't I? Dog currency?
Dogecoin?
Yeah, that's it. My sons told me I missed my opportunity. I'm like, whoa, yeah. If I don't get it, I'm not buying it. Okay, any other questions? Well, this was a fun one, I've got to say. Thank you very much. I mean, I knew it was going to be good. I'm very pleased. And I think there's going to come a point where we may want to lock in some of these realized returns, but it sounds like we're going to ride a bit longer. I appreciate it. Your presentation gives me a little hope for my own future. So this is fantastic. And one thing I would like to encourage the city manager to do, I know it's every time is crunched, but it's very important that we continue to push our committee, our finance committee.
The investment committee.
And I know it's busy and everybody's busy, but we really need to stay on top of this and really be partners with Blake and Allison and what they're doing and make sure that we're being a part of that management. I know they're the professionals, but we're kind of the eyes and ears on the ground for them. So I just really want to encourage you, Lisa, to revamp and refigure that committee, and let's get those folks meeting on a semi-regular basis and reporting back to the assembly. We're a small community. We don't have a lot of money. This is it for us. So we really, I can't emphasize to both Allison and Blake how important this is to us, that this is our nest egg and how we're going to ensure some stability down the road. So thank you very much for your report tonight. And we will look forward to the next one, and hopefully it's just as good.
Yeah. And Mr. Mayor, thank you very much for the kind words. I was born and raised in Alaska, so being able to help out the communities across Alaska, invest their funds prudently, is very important to me. And on top of that, my wife has recently told me I'm allowed to start going to in-person meetings again.
Yay. So
I would be happy to try to set up a work session later in the year where we could potentially talk about bucketing or kind of other options.
That would be great. And we're kind of moving that direction ourselves. So we're definitely getting to that point. And we love having folks come to town and for you to be able to see who we are and where we live. And I don't know where you guys are based, if you're in Anchorage or Juneau or Anchorage.
Yeah, our office is in Anchorage and I actually live in Girdwood. So.
Oh, well, okay. That's nice. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Appreciate tonight. Does anybody have any other thoughts or comments before I adjourn this work session? I'm not seeing anything. Thank you both very much for making time for us tonight. I appreciate it. Have a good evening. And with that, Kim, we will adjourn at 6:37. We will re-adjourn for our regular assembly meeting at 7 p.m. Thank you all.
Thank you, everyone.
Lisa, reach out anytime.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it, Allison.
Bye.